from WNYC in New York. This is NPR's On the Media. Brooke Gladstone is out this week. I'm Bob Garfield. Parents, a language alert in this first story. In a three-part order issued last week, the Federal Communications Commission levied the largest fines ever against broadcast stations for airing what the majority deems, quote, indecent content. CBS stations felt the brunt of the blow with $3.6 million in fines for implied sexual situations involving teenagers in its primetime drama Without a Trace. This on top of $550,000 in fines for the Janet Jackson breast exposure incident during the 2004 Super Bowl. Democratic Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein dissented from large portions of the majority decision, but he stands by the government's right to protect against the most egregious trespasses, such as lewdness in front of children during family viewing hours.
Well, look, there were a lot of families gathered around the television during the Super Bowl, not expecting to see adult-type fare. Frankly, it's not that adults don't have every right to see that kind of material, but children are supposed to be protected from that, and parents had no reason to expect that during a Super Bowl they would be subject to that kind of performance, and we had over 500,000 complaints.
But do those complaints, as you analyze them, are they from a lot of individuals acting individually, or were they part of some organized AstroTurf campaign of the American Family Association or elsewhere on the religious right?
I think we see both. I mean, certainly in the case of the Super Bowl, there was a lot of grassroots concern. Without a Trace, my sense is, was much more of an organized campaign that came out of centralized organizations that are monitoring the airwaves. So it depends. But the point is that the FCC needs to look into every complaint, and we do look at every complaint and determine if only one person weighed in or if 100,000 people weighed in. We try to see whether or not the material met the standard or not.
I want to talk to you about the word bullshit. Now, this is commonly used to convey skepticism, but the commission found it to be explicitly execratory and therefore indecent, whereas dickhead, as an insult, is okay. But where I come from, bullshit is, you know, pretty much kid stuff, and dickhead is pretty darned insulting. All of which is to finally ask, I guess, how do you go about finding standards on this stuff? It just seems to me so arbitrary.
Well, are you actually going to air that, or are you going to edit that out? Because
it depends. Are you on duty?
My colleagues may have an issue with it. To me, it's something that does defy a little bit the imagination. I understand why parents don't want that heard over the airwaves, but our rules require that words that are banned are either sexual or excretory. And I think in common usage, that word is not really one that is excretory. So we made quite a stretch to say that it's inherently so. And I think it's something that is probably going to be challenged in court.
So I'll mark you down as against this portion of the ruling. But as to the general question of arbitrariness, the fact that you're having this kind of Talmudic debate about, you know, what is over the line and what isn't, doesn't that get to the central problem that there can be no reasonable standard because it's just also wildly subjective?
I think there is a real problem with the arbitrary nature of this and the fact that we don't really have a consistent way of looking at these different words as to what's indecent or profane. You look at the so-called Golden Globes case where Bono used the F word with regard to an award that he got. It wasn't certainly sexual in nature, but we found that it may have been. And once you go down that path, all of a sudden you have the whole vocabulary in front of you and you need to make these determinations. And in fact, I can see why broadcasters would be somewhat confused about what is and what isn't permissible.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. Now, you dissented with a specific ruling that fined the Martin Scorsese documentary, The Blues, Godfathers and Sons, writing that, quote, the coarse language is a part of the culture of the individuals being portrayed. And you equate it with a prior ruling by the commission on Schindler's List and Saving Private Ryan, which allowed graphic language to depict, quote, serious incidents.
Well, I think when it comes to news and documentaries that we have traditionally looked at a different standard, it is very hard to separate out coarse language from the culture of the blues that was being portrayed. And I guess it was a decision by my colleagues that you could, that we somehow here inside the Beltway knew better than Martin Scorsese how to cut that film and that you could somehow take out certain parts and not lose meaning.
So explain to me again why, instead of writing a partially concurring opinion, you didn't, you know, self-immolate on the steps of the FCC in protest of your colleague's actions?
Well, all I can do is write a dissent in part, and that's what I did. I mean, I think we need to be very careful about how we draw the line here, because the Supreme Court gave us a real short leash on which to determine what is and isn't indecent. They want us to exercise the utmost restraint lest we inhibit the constitutional rights of broadcasters and others to free speech. If we overstep in these cases and the court knocks us down, we could potentially lose what limited authority we have to protect children from indecent material forever. It would actually take a constitutional amendment, amending the First Amendment, to be able to get the FCC authority back to limit material that we could all agree would be inappropriate for children.
All right, Commissioner. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Jonathan Adelstein is a Democratic appointee to the FCC.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.